Exploding Barrel Podcast, presented by 411 Mania. Is this podcast for November 3rd or November 4th?
3rd.
It's pretty late already in the 3rd.
Well, tell them that. They don't know any better.
Okay, this is for the 3rd. But we encourage you to listen to it whenever you get it.
That's right.
Well, we got our usual show lined up for you today. We're going to start out with the news, move on to the best ever, talk about what we've been playing this week, then I'm going to talk about my adventures in Final Fantasy. Then we'll talk about the weekly game releases, the downloadable game releases, not necessarily in that order. And that'll be the whole show, as usual, per quo and all that. So you want to get us in the news now?
All right, here we go. So the first thing I got on my list, and I'm pretty excited by this, NVIDIA has released the 8800 GT, which is a very comparable card to their top-of-the-line card that usually goes for anywhere from $450 to $600, depending where you shop. This card will retail for $200 to $250.
Do you go out of your way to pick the news item you know I'll be the least interested in?
Yeah, I try to end it with something you like better. It helps you transition to the next segment. But for our PC gaming friends, this is a big deal, because this is a really, really good video card at a pretty cheap price that's DirectX 10 and all that fun stuff. So, you know, with Crysis coming out and, you know, the Orange Box, and, you know, Call of Duty 4 and all that stuff. It's good news.
Yeah, what else?
Going in something you might be semi-interested in now.
I doubt it.
LucasArts and BioWare have announced that they're collaborating on something, which is just feeding more fan to the fires of the rumors that BioWare is making a Knights of the Old Republic MMO.
Well, what else would it be?
Seriously, I don't know. They've been real cagey about saying if it's new IP or existing IP or licensed. So, I really hope so, because Galaxy's kind of disappointing.
Well, KOTOR would lend itself to a MMORPG much better. I mean, you know, it makes sense that there is a bunch of Jedi and Sith in that universe.
Right.
Well, wait, Sith? How many Sith were there in KOTOR? I don't know.
A lot.
There were a lot? Okay.
That's all you were fighting. That was at the time when, like, the Sith were really rising to power.
That's right.
So,
But what would this mean for Galaxies, for the people who still play?
Oh, they'll pull the plug on it.
They won't pull the plug.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I don't know.
It would not be the first MMORPG that Sony's killed.
Astron's Call 2. Is that Sony?
No, wait a second. You know, I'm thinking EA. They killed a bunch. Now that I think about it, I don't think Sony has killed any, but I think if there's going to be another Star Wars one, they'd kill it.
I don't think they'd kill it.
It depends who's call. If it's LucasArts' call, they'll kill it to get people to get KOTOR.
I don't know. I don't think they'd kill it.
Because the only things I can think of that died are like Astron's Call 2, Earth and Beyond, that was EA. The Sims Online, I believe, is gone.
Isn't that car one already dead?
Yeah, Auto Assault, that died during the summer. That was NCSoft.
Atrix Online is still kicking.
Yeah, because, well, Sony bought that. Yeah, so yeah, maybe Sony's where MMOs go to die.
I guess so.
So this is upsetting. Metal Gear Solid 4 has been delayed to quarter 2, 2008, which puts it in the I believe that's the March to May window.
Jeez.
March to June, maybe. And then I read online, too, that someone was saying if it's the Japanese quarter 2008, that's even later. Because the Japanese fiscal quarters are different.
Man, I don't know.
Of course, some people are saying that
they're... Remember a big deal about how it was going to come out in 2007? That first trailer, it was like 2006, then it turned into an 8, and it was like, nope, and then a 7, everyone cheered.
Yeah, and who believed that?
I did. No, what? They don't normally... Wait, Metal Gear Solid does not really have a history of being delayed.
Has it?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure they all were.
I don't think so.
We'll have to check.
I think you're making it up.
I can't...
They have a history of getting announced really early before they get released.
True. But PS3 games have a history of getting delayed.
Oh, yeah. Usually only an extra week or so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's disappointing. I'd like to play Metal Gear Solid 4 as soon as possible.
Yeah, me too. So, I'm sad. So, a game I was looking forward to and just haven't gotten around to picking up yet, The Eye of Judgment, which is released in limited quantities that are selling out. So, I don't know why the stores don't want to carry more of it. But when it was first revealed, one of the questions that came up to Sony was, how do you prevent people from just photocopying cards and then scanning them into the game? And they said, oh, they'll be printed using a special ink that only the PlayStation Eye can recognize. That was a lie. Apparently you can just photocopy your cards and the game will recognize them.
People draw their own cards.
Yeah, they've drawn them with Crayola markers, so that's kind of a moot point. It's just interesting because, I mean, basically it sounds like the business model of this game depends on people going out and buying booster packs. If you could just download the cards and print them, you just killed your business model.
Yes, a bit of a problem.
But if anyone out there plays it, let us know what you think of it, because I'm really curious to see if it's any good. Like, I really want... I wish, like, that had, like, in-store kiosks. I just want to, like, hold the card in my hand and, like, see the hologram on screen and be like...
I gotta tell you, if you buy it, you're not going to play it more than a few times. You know it.
I know. That's what I'm worried about. That's kind of why I haven't, like, rushed out right away to get it. Yeah. All right. We'll move on to some Guitar Hero discussion, because there's a bunch of that, because that came out this week, and we'll talk about our experience it more in a little bit, but buyer beware. If you get the game at Walmart, it's on the box, but a lot of people aren't paying attention to this, but the Walmart Guitar Hero 3 bundles and 360 come with the old Explorer guitars from Guitar Hero 2, the not wireless ones.
Why is this only Walmart?
Because Walmart's cheap and evil.
And evil. I see.
So, another question that came up a lot with all these different guitars and all these different guitar games is which guitar works with what? And it seems that after various media outlets have finally gotten their hands on all the different hardware and software, the way it seems to work is anything that is a Guitar Hero guitar, meaning if you're on the 360, because that's the most guitars out for it, the Explorer and the Gibson Les Paul will work with Guitar Hero 2, Guitar Hero 3, and Rock Band. The Rock Band guitar will only work with Rock Band and nothing else. So if you bought Guitar Hero 3 thinking that would be your bass when you get Rock Band, you're in good shape. In fact, we played Rock Band with the Explorer, and it worked fine. You weren't there.
You said I wasn't there.
But it works.
Everyone, God, you and my brother and some other... You guys are going to Best Buy during your free time like it's some sort of Rock Band arcade.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
They probably don't appreciate it.
We'll talk about that later, too. So this, I was really excited to hear this. It's been confirmed that Luigi is a playable character in Mario Galaxy.
Is this the last thing that you were talking about?
No, this is the second to last. See? See
what, is it going to get better than
it
this?
It gets better.
Because this is pretty great news.
This is to unlock Luigi in the game, you have to get all 120 stars, complete all the purple coin missions, and then beat Bowser a second time. Then you get Luigi, who apparently jumps higher and further than Mario, but he has trouble stopping, which makes him a little harder to control.
Well, that's the Luigi trademark playstyle.
Exactly. Mario I'm Brothers excited.
I am pumped for that.
I love Luigi in games. I know.
I almost kind of wonder why he can't just be playable from the offset, but that's a cool unlockable.
Yeah, it's better than, hey, you not just beat all. The game. Here's Yoshi, and he's going to give you a million lives that you don't need.
Yeah. Great. I mean, this is the first time, though, that Luigi has been a playable character in, like, one of the main Mario games since Mario World.
False. Super Mario DS.
Doesn't really count.
Kind of does. I mean, you get to play as him. And Wario and Yoshi were in that.
Wait, Super Mario DS? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Super Mario 64 DS, excuse
right,
me.
Right. I thought you were thinking new Super Mario Brothers.
No, no, no.
Yeah, maybe.
It does.
That was a weird game that people will forget.
Yeah. Still fine. Eh.
I don't know. Playing a 3D game with a D-pad was a little weird.
I used the fake analog stick on the touchscreen. Yeah. All right, well, this is the one you'll be really excited about.
Let's see.
Smash Brothers Brawl gets a stage builder.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you talk really about it. You probably know more than I do.
What?
You probably know more about it than I do, so go for it.
Well, it seems like it's a pretty nice system. It'll let you, as far as building goes, it looks like it's very flexible. You can make very large stages. And also, you'll be able to upload them onto some sort of server to share them with friends and stuff. And also, there'll be a service where they'll send everybody a stage once a day, and that, you know, every day that stage will change. Presumably, if you like that stage, you can save it onto a, an SD card.
I understood that you couldn't save it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, what's the guy who makes the game, who has the website?
Is it Sakaguchi?
Sakaguchi made Blue Dragon and Final
Fantasy. I get
the guy. But anyway, he said, I was reading it on the Smash Brothers Dojo, it says, it said something like, if you liked it,
worded.
It's gone, too
know.
Bad, move on to the next one. Or, I mean, he was more polite about it than that.
Right. Well, it's vaguely worded. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously...
But, I mean, I bet there wouldn't be too hard to recreate if you really liked them. But, like, for me, this means if there isn't a Final Destination, stage, just a flat plane, I can just make one.
Very exciting, Mike.
Yeah. Well, No, it's great because I don't like those gimmick-filled stages. So
I do.
I like my own. And, you know, you can make them themed to, like, you know, the characters and stuff. And you can put decide what music you put on there. It's a great feature. I mean, think about Smash Brothers Brawl has a lot of features right now.
Yeah, it's one of the most feature-filled games, like, coming out
that
next
game
year.
Is, yeah, it's going to be... You're going to get your money's worth of that. Like, the only thing it's going to miss is, like, a really good online play system. Like, you know, so I can have Xbox Live, like,
yeah.
Stat tracking.
Yeah,
and, like,
I know. That'd be nice.
Invite your friends thing. That's, you know, that's the platform it's on. Mm. But, I mean, everything else about this game is going to be amazing. Yeah, it's always a safe bet to end the news with a Smash Brothers update.
See, because now you're excited to go
that's
on
right.
to the next segment, so.
That's right.
Go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot. I'm going to start with, I rented Ratchet & Clank Future Tools of Destruction.
Yes, I was watching you play it.
I was playing a good deal of it, and I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I probably would call it the best PS3 game I've played so far.
Easily. I mean, I didn't touch the rental. My time is just with the demo. But the time with the demo, I was like, this is good. All right.
Yeah, it's a... I mean...
Gorgeous game.
Looks great. Yeah, it looks very, very good. Looks very good. And... You know what? Those cartoony kind of games, they always look better to me than the realistic games.
Definitely.
Like the realistic games, I'm kind of surrounded by a counterpoint. Like, let's see. Nope, not quite perfect.
I just like the cutscenes have that very kind of Chuck Jones animated quality to them.
Yeah.
Like, I really like... I don't know why I find it so funny, but that first cutscene where Captain Quark gets on the video thing, and just the way he reacts to that bolt coming at him, how he kind of screams and does like the kind of stretching duck down thing, and zoom, and you're like, ha, that's... Perfect.
No, the humor definitely works for the most part. All the weapons are fun to use. The way you upgrade your weapons is very nice because you can upgrade them by using them. And also, there's all these, like, you know, you use these raritanium, which is like items that you can find in kind of hard to reach places sometimes. So you have to go out of your way to get them. You get them from bosses, so you have to use those to upgrade weapons. It just works really well. It's a lot of fun. Pretty solid level design. I don't think I'm going to buy it or anything just because, you know, like Mario Galaxy is coming so soon.
Be good with platformers.
Yeah, but I do really like it. I'm glad I rented it.
Good.
I'm going to have to be returning it soon, though.
Yeah, I have to try to play it a little bit first.
Yeah. Speaking of Mario Galaxy, though, I got to play the kiosk.
Yeah, a lot of GameStops have got demos of it.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I started it right from the beginning, which may have been a mistake because I didn't get to mess around with it as much because, you know, I had to go through all that introductory stuff. But it was a lot of, I mean, Mario Galaxy, just, it's great.
And one thing I want to say for the game before, because, I mean, we'll talk about the gameplay a little bit because it's brilliant, but I was really taken aback by how good the music is.
The music is really, it's like...
It's fully orchestrated, which I don't think they've ever done in a Mario game before.
No, Sunshine was very...
It was still MIDI.
It was MIDI.
This sounds like it's fully... And like we were saying, it had this kind of Disney World Tomorrowland vibe to it.
It was really cool.
Really
did. It got a space theme.
Yeah, it felt very appropriate for the setting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the music just from what I played, but the game looks really good, too.
Definitely the best-looking Wii game.
Definitely, and I have my... What do you call that? Cable I got.
The component?
Yeah,
for the
cable. So it'll look good
progressive scan and everything.
So it's going to look good for me. And I'm really looking forward to buying that.
I'll tell you, like, I'm playing that demo. I'm, like, running sideways, jumping on dudes. I didn't feel disoriented. I felt complete control the whole time.
Right.
It's remarkable how easy it is to play.
Right. And it's not, you know, like, controlling Mario and pointing the, you know, Wiimote around and picking up the items just by going over them and shooting them. It's incredibly easy. Mm-hmm.
Definitely,
I mean, you know, it's as
that.
Well designed as you'd expect a Mario game to be.
Yeah, I mean, and it gives a lot more credence to that old saying that Nintendo makes Nintendo systems for Nintendo games. Because, I mean, let's look at what the best games in the system have been. Zelda, Metroid, Mario.
Well.
I mean, you could give RE4 was pretty good.
I was about
good.
To say, I love Resident Evil 4. Well, yeah, but I mean, there's been some other good Wii games. I mean, that Godfather was supposed to be pretty good.
But, I mean... But it's like
I won't disagree with you that Nintendo games are typically the best.
Yeah, you play it, you feel like Nintendo had this idea for like these games. Like we need a different system to play them.
Well, yeah. This is because I really do think Nintendo was one of the best game producers as far as it comes. No one really, can't match them that easily. I mean, well, let's look at how many companies like approach the Wii right now. They, like, make offshoot games. You know, it's not going to get Soul Calibur 4, it'll get Soul Calibur Legends.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to get Tony Hawk, it'll get Tony Hawk's Downhill Jam. Although this time it got the Proving Grounds.
Yeah, the actual Proving Grounds.
But even still, that's not designed for the Wii.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to port the other things. And, I mean, we're seeing that change already just because Wii's doing so much better.
Mm-hmm.
But
hopefully we get more than, like, Boogie and My Sims.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's EA.
Yeah.
Thinking that they understand the casual market.
I'm curious to see how No More Heroes will do. To me, that's the first high-profile third-party Wii-specific game coming out.
I'm interested to see how Akami does, too, but... And one news thing I think I remember you did forget is Resident Evil 4, they say, on the Wii has been selling really well.
Oh, yeah?
Like, very well. I think it just did 1 million.
Oh, wow.
Like they're really surprised and take it back how well it's doing. They're producing more of it. And, I mean...
$30 price point, that's a very...
Yeah, the $30 price point. With Resident Evil 4 and all the features that it had on the PS2 version, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, that's doing really well. And that's not a Nintendo game. That's an old game. So, people can follow the Resident Evil 4 kind of way of doing things. I think they can be okay.
Maybe Capcom has touched on something.
What's that?
Maybe Capcom has touched on something. Maybe Yokami and Wii will be good, too.
You know, Capcom has seemed to be doing pretty good all around this generation.
Yeah, I've been very happy with them. I mean, Capcom, they were kind of falling off the radar, but...
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 brought things back together.
Yeah, RE4, and then you had Lost Planet, Dead Rising. And
be nice if they could do something interesting with Mega Man again.
Someday. Yeah, well, I mean, Mega Man powered up in Mission... Or Maverick Hunter X. Well,
that's a remake.
Yeah, they were fine. RE4 is a remake.
That was more of a report.
Well, anyway, we kind of fell off topic.
Yeah, Mario Galaxy is great. I've been doing a lot of Castlevania this week.
You have.
Which is a series I've not really been, like, a huge fan of, but first I just ROMed up the original Castlevania and played through the whole thing one day. You know, it's not very hard when you got that load state, save state thing, which, you know, I abused horrendously. But still, you know, I beat it. And, you know, it was fun. So, I like, that same day I went out and I got that PSP game, Dracula X Chronicles, which is, it has the 3D remake of Rondo of Blood, which was never released here before, but everyone probably remembered as the game you play the last stage of in the beginning of Symphony of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
It also comes with a port of Symphony of the Night and the original Rondo of Blood.
And we have our signed
You got, you saw that, what's that guy's name?
Kogi Igarashi.
Yeah, you met the Castlevania guy. You got three things signed. You weren't going to give me any.
I gave it to
you. Until I went out and bought this game, you gave me that.
See, it was leverage. I'm smart.
Yeah, right. But I'm really enjoying it. It's very Castlevania-y. But, I mean, it's funny. It's kind of funny how much it is a lot like Castlevania 1 on the NES.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious to see if there are people who buy it thinking it's going to be like the recent Game Boy games that have come out, and then they're playing it, and it's got that kind of slower pace to it. They're going to be a little taken aback.
Not just a lot of things are very similar. Mm-hmm. Castlevania 1 set up the conventions that the series used until Symphony of the Night.
Well, that was when Iga came on board with Symphony of the Night.
I mean, you know, jumping is like, you can't, you know, change your jump in midair.
Right.
Which makes things more hardcore. You know, it's always the whip. You got your sub-weapons. The one thing it does add is, you know, you have, like, the super attacks of all your sub-weapons. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, level structure is very similar. The boss fights are... very similar. I mean, they're very, very similar. Like, a 3D remake of Castlevania 1 would not be that different from Rondo of Blood. But I like Castlevania 1, so it's not that bad. I went back and I ROMed up Castlevania 3. I was playing, a bit more than halfway through that. Castlevania 3 on the NES, while I'm playing, it's actually, like, one of the best NES games I've ever played.
I don't think I've ever played, but yeah, it seems to be highly regarded.
Yeah, it's
two's supposed to be awful.
Right, well, so says the angry video game.
It looked pretty bad.
Yeah, it did. I just skipped over that one. But 3's fun because you meet these people who can be who'll be like your second character, and you can switch between them pushing the select button. And they'll have different, like, you know, abilities. Like, this one guy is a little smaller guy, but he moves much faster, and he can, you know, change his direction of his jump in midair, which is, you know, a pretty big deal for those earlier Castlevania games. And he can, like, crawl on walls and stuff. There's some girl who's like a, you know, a wizard. She can do magic. And Alucard's actually in that one.
Oh, okay.
That's the first one he was ever in. I didn't get him yet. But 3 is a lot of fun, actually. That might be my favorite of these.
Nice.
But I'm pretty far in Rondo, but I should be beating it
did
soon.
Did you try the Symphony port at all?
I just started it, and I'm already a little disappointed because they changed the dialogue.
But they didn't retranslate it, right? It's the same. It's the same words. It's just different voices.
No, it's retranslated.
Oh, is it?
It's a little disappointing. New voice acting. I love the cheesiness of the original PlayStation myself.
And it's formatted for the widescreen too, right?
No.
It's not? I thought that was one of the big deals of the port. Huh.
No.
That's a bummer.
You get to pick your background thing.
Ooh.
But yeah, I'm a little surprised how porty.
Yeah, why is that so hard to make a 2D game suddenly widescreen? Why can't you just widen the borders?
I don't know. They obviously had enough effort to go in and retranslate.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of I'd rather the game be native widescreen than get new voices.
Is that the general opinion that people don't like that voice acting?
I enjoyed it.
I like it. It's over. I mean, people are like, "Oh, it's so bad." All those PlayStation games.
Yeah,
like
seriously.
Voice,
we didn't really start to get good voice acting until Metal Gear. Really, that was the first game to have good voice, and the LucasArts Adventure games, of course. But
even when you think about it, David Hayter kind of harkens back to that time of sort of
he was kind of towing the line a bit.
Right. I love it.
Oh yeah.
He's so.
Well, here, let me go because you've been talking for a while.
Well, I played a lot.
Well, here, I mean, you played this too, so we'll bring it up as Guitar Hero 3, which came out this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's still Guitar Hero.
Yeah, like
a game that I kind of got sick of by the, you know, some time into Guitar Hero 2.
Like I say, it's definitely a lot easier. Like the forgiveness with when you gotta.
I don't know about that. People say that.
I think so because I mean, there's stuff that like I try to do hammer-ons and pull-offs in 2. I could never, even though I'm like I'm doing this and it's not registering. But in this one, they're, like, magically working. I mean, stuff that were literally, I play it, and I'm like, wow, I got that.
But Chris will attest to this, who plays these more, that the game at its hardest is harder than
because,
Guitar Hero
2. Well, one thing you'll notice is when you go to Expert, the notes scroll more quickly, so you don't get as much time to read ahead.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But I don't know if I like the set list in this one better than any of the previous ones. I feel like the set list has gotten worse.
I thought I would, but, like, I realized for Guitar Hero 1 and 2, the ones that, like, there's always, you know, songs I never heard of that I, like, you know, really attach themselves to me. Like, so far in 3, I've liked all the ones I expected to like. Nothing else has really stuck out.
I mean, you know it's always a problem. Like, you're playing a song, and you're like, oh, I just want this song to end. And then, like, you hit a star power sequence, you're like, oh, that means there's more of the song coming.
Yeah.
But,
Pain and Black is
awesome. What do you think of the battle mode?
I think it's... Like I said this last time we played the demo. I think it's kind of neat, but I think it's kind of... I actually haven't played it since the demo. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of broken in that it works for some songs, not for others. When you battle the bosses or whatever, uh-huh. And it's like those specific like solo things, I think that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. I actually haven't gotten that. I've only been playing it in co-op career with a friend, so I never got to do the boss battles yet. But, yeah, it's just like something like, I mean, it's kind of like I felt about the last one. It was like the good songs, bad songs are really bad.
Yeah, I still probably like Guitar Hero 1 the best. I just
wish like they set like a max cap to some of the songs. I mean, I know you want to be true to them, but like, can't we edit down some of the more repetitious songs?
Yeah. I just think about Guitar Hero 1, how many of those songs I like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But so,
it's also kind of hard because I played Rock Band.
Yeah, and Rock Band is so good.
Rock Band.
So for those of you who don't know, Best Buy have gotten their Rock Band kiosk installed. And what these demo kiosks include is the Rock Band guitar, which is a Fender Stratocaster, the drum set minus the bass pedal, and the demo just automatically plays the bass lines for you, and there's the USB mic hooked up if you want to sing in the middle of a Best Buy like me. And I went with you the one night. We played it for a while, decided it was awesome. Then we got home, and our brother Chris got home from class. He's like, who wants to go to Best Buy and play Rock Band? I was like, I will. So
So
we got there and ran into two friends who were also at Best Buy. We go over to the kiosk, and next to it, they had set up another 360 playing Guitar Hero 2. We actually unplugged
It was three today.
Oh, it was two last time. Well, we unplugged the Explorer from that 360 and into the USB hub for the Rock Band so that we had all four of us playing. And when you get four people playing that game, it is just absolutely magical how well it comes together. Like, it is so much fun. And one thing, I don't know why I enjoy this so much, but if you're playing the lead guitar and you get to the part in the song that's designated a solo, the whatever you call it, the thing where your notes are scrolling through, it'll turn, like, bluish. And that means you're in your solo and you can come down to the lower fret buttons and just do hammer-ons and pull-offs. I don't know why, but I love doing that.
I actually do.
It's so much fun.
I suck at it right now.
Yeah, but I just had a blast. And then I also like how some of the songs, like, you just do a freeform jam at the very end, which is a blast. And, I mean, seriously, I played that game, and I was like, Guitar Hero sucks now. Like, I'm going to go home, play Guitar Hero, and be mad.
I haven't played Guitar Hero since, but I've been sick of guitar for a little bit. It has nothing to do with Rock Band for me. Rock Band's fun because I like singing and playing drums.
It's just fun to find, like, because I mean, Guitar Hero's kind of got this moniker as a party game, but still, it's only two players. This year, at least you get four people in the mix, and I mean, if nothing else, if people even feel like they can't handle the guitaring and drumming, everybody thinks they can sing at least a little bit, so you at least get people into it that way.
Now, hasn't it been said that they're expecting for there to be, you know, short supplies of this
game? Yeah, we damn well better get ours, because when we pre-ordered it, the guy never said anything about you might not get it.
Yeah. I'm hopeful. What else did you play? You've been playing Hellgate London.
Yes, as I was going to talk about next. Hellgate London came out on Halloween. I pre-ordered it last week and picked it up, and I think the game is fantastic. It's getting kind of sevens and eights online, so I mean, it's not bad, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those guys are jerks.
Well, a lot of them are upset about all the bugs.
Yeah, it is buggy. I fell prey to. Apparently, there's a bug that if you're dual wielding and you log off, when you log back in, your offhand weapon might have just vanished.
That's a horrible bug.
It is a horrible, horrible bug. And, I mean, luckily, because I'm so low level, I found like a better weapon very, very shortly.
How could that possibly, like... How could they have missed that?
I don't know. More likely than not, it's just they fixed something else and that ended up breaking this without them realizing. Because, I mean, the game was in a beta up till 4 days before release. But,
I played the demo. I thought it was fun. I kind of liked the shooter class a little bit more because that was unique. It was like a Diablo game and an FPS.
Well, I ended up going with the basic magic class in the game, which is called an Evoker. And, you know, I mean, like, I've got, like, a bone spear that can travel through multiple enemies. This thing where you chuck out this magic orb that after it gets so many meters away from you splits into a bunch of orbs and they do a lot of damage. And I have, like, a close-range, like, firebolt spell. But, I mean, this is made by the guys who made Diablo 1 and Diablo 2. They broke off and formed Flagship Studios, who made this game. And it's, as they pitch it, it's Diablo 2 in first-person 3D. And it really is. And, like, we've been playing Diablo clones since Diablo 2, and every time I play one,
I
just sit there going, I'd rather just play Diablo 2. This is the first time I'm finally playing it, and I don't feel that neat. Like, I'm happy playing this game. I really like it. The randomly generated levels work really well. There have been, like, there was one time I did a quest in this area. I did a few quests in there, then moved on to a few other areas, and got a quest that was go back to the areas already in and, like, just explore it all so we get a map of it. And I was like, I don't want to go in there again. But when I went in, it was completely different. I mean, not even just to the point where I was taking a left instead of a right. I mean, it was completely different.
Wait, that doesn't kind of make sense.
Yeah, I know. It kind of does. It kind of breaks apart the continuity of the world, but it made the gameplay fine. And I'll take that trade-off. In a game like this, it was fine. I was, like, totally fine with that.
Must be kind of upsetting for those guys. They've been working on this game forever, and then it comes out, it's like 7.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is they have this option for subscribing to the game. And Bill Roper was saying, like, just as people argued whether or not Diablo 2 was really an RPG, he expects a similar argument to whether or not this is an MMO. I kind of understand what he's saying, but, like, right now the incentive to subscribe is you get more character slots, 25 compared to 3. That's just online. Single player, you have as much as you want. You get ongoing multiplayer content, shared character lockers, larger lockers, and the ability to create guilds. And later down the line, it sounds like they have more stuff coming, but right now, I see absolutely no reason to subscribe, especially since the subscription system has been broken, so they gave what would have been subscriber-only Halloween content to everybody. And the weird thing is, for people who pre-ordered it, you get the option to pay $150 to get a lifetime subscription. But that offer expires on November 30th. And, like, I don't think there's enough content that, like, even if you were to try subscribing and then be like, oh, okay, this is worth it, I don't think you'd feel that by November 30th. I don't know why they don't just make that as long as you want, whenever you want. You could just drop $150 and get the lifetime.
I bet somewhere down the line they are going to get rid of that model and it'll all just be free. Maybe like a year or a couple of years, but
it'll depend how many people subscribe. Because I mean, if the new content that they're talking about is substantial enough, that's fine. $10 a month to basically get like expansion content, that's fine. But right now, there's no reason to subscribe. You can just play it online, enjoy yourself.
I don't. That was a bad decision on their part.
Yeah.
especially now that they're not getting, like, you know, a lot of people who are going to, like, wait to see the reviews, you know, who aren't really going to try that demo, they're going to see the reviews of whether, you know, they're justified or not. They see sevens and sixes.
The reviews, yeah, I mean, if you read the review and it seems like they're being harsh because of the bugs, I mean, yeah, that's true, but it's all getting fixed.
Well, you don't really, you're being a little too
generous. I am.
Know.
I mean, I am giving this game the benefit of that because I really do like it. And I think, too, the demo doesn't give a very good impression of the game because, I mean, the first five levels aren't very interesting. You don't get a lot of skills. And really, the two classes they give you in the demo are kind of basic because they give you the Blade Master, which is kind of the equivalent of Diablo II's Barbarian, and the Marksman, which is like the basic range class. And the other four classes are a Guardian, which is kind of like Diablo II's Paladin, the Evoker, which is the magic guy I have, there's the Summoner, who is a magic guy who summons demons, and there's the other shooter class, which is the Engineer, who can build a... He's kind of like the buff class, but he does all his buffs by building robots and stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, I enjoy it. Try the demo, see what you think, but keep in mind, it gets better as you get more abilities and better equipment and things like that.
Is that all you played then?
I think that does it.
Okay, that's pretty good. We skipped the best ever, by the
way. I thought so.
Yeah, I just realized it. But we can do it now. I kind of usually it's kind of my policy to not tell you what the best ever is. I kind of dropped the hint.
I forget what you said, so.
Yeah, well, I wanted you to think about it a little bit. When you did, then it's the best game of the PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox generation.
We talked briefly.
No, by that I mean, you know, any games released for those systems, really.
Okay. PC gaming of the era included or not?
No, PC gaming of the era not included.
Just consoles.
Portable gaming of the era not included. Basically, GameCube, PS2, Xbox all rolled into one. Maybe we'll revisit those on their own terms somewhere down the line, but this is good because we didn't have much news. This should give us a lot to talk about. So, go ahead, and if you already know what your favorite is, try to not bring it up right away.
Yeah, obviously. Well, one game series that I was very much a fan of, but not to the same extent you were, is the Kingdom Hearts series.
You know, I'm kind of surprised how you don't like it as much as me.
I honestly think it's a problem of gameplay. I find the gameplay, I mean, I know it can get deeper, but I find it just to be too much of a button masher.
You think it's shallow?
A little bit.
I don't know. I can understand why you would think that.
I think in Kingdom Hearts 2, I mean, it stopped being like this is this fun little thing of Final Fantasy and Disney characters, and became this crazy complex Japanese RPG plot that, oh, look, and there's some Disney characters in there.
Now, here's a problem of conception, I think. Misconception. Because a lot of people think that Kingdom Hearts is, they always say, oh, it's half Disney, half Final Fantasy. It really isn't. It's half Disney, and it's half Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
It's half its own thing. And there's Final Fantasy characters in there, but, like, they're never that significant.
Right,
they're never that integral to the plot. Like, the only one who's ever really, like, your partner was Arn, or whatever his name was.
He was sweet, though.
Yeah, he's pretty sweet. But no, it is half Kingdom Hearts. And, you know, there's a lot of people, you have to understand, who, like, wish that there was less of the Disney stuff.
Mm, that's weird. That's the whole point to me.
But, I liked Kingdom Hearts 1 a lot.
Yeah,
just because
I beat
of the
that
concept.
One.
Yeah, but Kingdom Hearts 2 is the one I love. That's one of my favorite games of all time. Because the action in that game is great. I mean, everyone complains it's a little easy. Yes, it is easy. But I hear that complaint for a lot of games I love, including another one I'll talk about later. But that never really bothers me because, you know, I'll just play them to death anyways. I'll do all the insanely, like, you know, tricky stuff. Like, Kingdom Hearts 2, I completed Jiminy's Journal, you know, which took a lot of time. It, like, took 30 hours to beat the game. Took another 30 to complete that. I remember there's some of the mini-games I was stuck on. Like, the one that you had to do the posters, I had to sit down for 4 or 3 hours and just try to figure out the best route to, like, hang 30 posters in, like, 5 minutes or whatever.
See, that just doesn't appeal to me.
Well, that's a mini. That was a mini game.
I know,
it was,
but, like,
unnecessary.
I find that funny when people they do crap like that to see the super secret ending when they could just go on YouTube and watch it.
Well, yeah, but it was just so much fun. Like, Kingdom Hearts 2 took a lot of concepts of Kingdom Hearts 1, and, like, they made. I mean, you could say they made the battle system deeper, or they made it more over the top because they added all, like, the transformations. You know,
yeah.
You get
and that
you
stuff
know,
I liked.
Yeah,
but
then
the game also falls in that trap that so many JRPGs fall into, where, like, the beginning's slow. You don't even get to play as the main character until, like, 2 hours in.
I thought that was really interesting. You don't get to. That's not, like, how many games really you don't get to play as the main character. It was kind of cool.
Metal Gear, and I hated that game, the second one.
Well, that was a little different because everyone liked the first person you played as more.
Right.
I thought that was interesting. And it was, I mean, if, I didn't realize it now, but as a Final Fantasy fan, I realized how much fan service there was going on in that beginning.
Because
there was a lot of Final Fantasy characters in that. But plot-wise, that was really interesting, especially with Christopher Lee's stuff.
See, I found all that confusing, too. I'm like,
yeah, well, see,
I was just figuring out who, like, the Heartless were, and now we've got the Nobodies.
Right. Well, it all is confusing, but if you're really into the game, yeah. It's like, oh, man.
I do like the part where, like, Mickey gets pissed when he thinks Goofy gets killed. And I was like, oh, man, Mickey's going to rip some shit up.
How about Tron? Come on.
It did have Tron. It did.
That was amazing. Best world ever. And I loved all the limit break attacks you can do with your partners, like Sora.
I like the one with Beast the best.
Yeah, that was best. That was so good. Well, no, I don't know. I like the one with Tron also.
Yeah.
They're just like, we got this. We're like, oh, man. That was
well,
awesome.
I got to cut you off because you'll talk about Kingdom Hearts for
really?
Like an hour. So you throw out a game.
I can't talk about Kingdom Hearts anymore?
No.
All right. How about Metroid Prime 1?
Metroid Prime
just
1.
Off the top of my head.
Like, I think that's a more significant jump from 2D to 3D than Mario might have been.
Well,
not significant. Like, I mean, Mario is significant because it set up basically all 3D gaming. But I think, so not significant is the word, but just
a better one.
They took 2D Metroid and made it first person.
Right,
because
I know what you mean. Because 3D Mario, it's kind of similar to 2D Mario, but it's very different.
Yeah,
3D Metroid is actually a lot like 2D Metroid.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it had the platforming. It had the same feeling of exploration, isolation.
Yeah. It had shooting, but it wasn't like precise shooting. It was just you had to shoot them.
I think a lot of that stuff is missing from the third one, which makes it to me not as much fun to play.
Right. Well, I always was afraid that the third one was going to be more of a shooter.
And it was.
It was. That was what I was expecting. No, but Metroid Prime 1 is definitely the best of that trilogy.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It's still a great looking game.
You still need to beat it, because Metroid
Prime
was such a good boss fight.
I'm mad at you for not beating Kingdom Hearts 2, but... Yeah, Metroid Prime was a lot of fun. Looks so good. Beautiful, beautiful game world. And a lot of people complain that, like, it was all... Like, the worlds... Like, the sections were a little cliche. Like, yeah, the fire part, the ruins, and the ice part.
That's what
but,
I want
know,
from a Metroid
well.
Game.
Yeah, they did them really well. But, yeah... That was a really fun game. I think that definitely needs to be up there. You bring one up now. Go back and forth.
So I'm just trying to think of...
Oh, come
on. Without blowing my absolute favorite one.
Well, stop saying it so you don't just say it. You can bring it up at some point.
Right. Well, one series that I think was more important last generation than a lot of people realized was the Prince of Persia series, particularly the third one. Which was really, really good.
Not particularly the first one?
I think the first one kind of established everything. The second was a huge misstep.
The first one, that was like the one that actually like even won some Game of the Year awards for some people.
But I think the third one was really the ultimate refinement of that formula.
I'd say I never really played a whole lot of any of them. I did play the first one a little bit, and I got to some combat section I just couldn't even beat.
Mm-hmm.
So I put it
that
down.
Was the problem with the first one. It was definitely more... You could feel like if the developers had their way, it would have been just running through environments, and like somebody at the top was like, "You have some combat," and they're like, "Fine."
When I think of Prince of Persia, I think about Warrior Within.
Yeah, that
just
sucked.
Selling out your
that really almost ruined the series.
Yeah, selling out
you
your
bitch.
Game and your character, make it more hardcore. Like the most heated argument I've ever had in my life was with my one friend who thinks that Warrior Within is cool because it has a rock song in it. And I had to explain to him
how it
makes no sense.
The whole appeal of the game was the kind of 1001 Arabian Nights storybook feel. It had like the soft glow, the music, and the way how like you pause the game, it's like the prince was telling you the story and be like, oh, okay, hang on a second. You unpause it, like, okay, where was I? It's like, it was so cool.
And
then
Warrior Within
threw all that out the window, and they were like, let's just get Puddle of Mud to record some music, and it'll be sweet, or whoever the hell did it.
It was Disturbed, I think.
Oh, okay.
So says Kevin.
Well, it was
oh, God.
Whatever.
But that's what I think of when I think of Prince of Persia, unfortunately. But talk about, like, a game series that was kind of down and out and then got revitalized in that generation was Resident Evil, which I talked about a little bit, but Resident Evil 4, that's definitely got to be one of the best
games.
Because
the Resident Evil formula was definitely dying.
I never had much interest for that game series at all.
Yeah, me neither. I played them and never...
4 is just... It's a fantastic game. And, I mean, look, it has so many, like... It looks like we're owing a lot to that over-the-shoulder perspective.
Well, yeah, we really between Gears of War and Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, Ratchet and Clank even uses it. Metal Gear Solid's going to use it.
Yeah, seriously.
When Metal Gear Solid is copying your I mean, whoever would have thought that Metal Gear Solid was going to imitate Resident Evil for anything?
Yeah, seriously.
But Resident Evil 4 was fantastic. Did you beat Resident Evil 4? How far did you get?
I did not. I never actually...
I didn't beat it until the Wii version, actually, which is my favorite.
Yeah, I only got a little bit into the GameCube version. I never did end up buying the Wii version. I'm going to play yours now that I'm here.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was definitely one of my favorites. Your turn.
So I think a game that... It was just one of those cases of being a critical favorite but a commercial failure, but it's sad. It was Psychonauts.
Psychonauts was a lot of fun.
Because, I mean, it was just, once again, Tim Schafer showing the world that, like, if you focus on, like, character and story and then make, you know, a good game at least to go around, but not, it doesn't have to be a great game, because really the game was just a platformer.
Yeah.
But everything else about it was so engaging. And just, I mean, just so brilliantly done. And a little known fact, one of the script writers for that game was the guy who wrote the dialogue for Portal and Team Fortress.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. I'm a little... Yeah, that's another game I regret not beating. Did you get to the Milkman level?
No.
Oh.
I know. I didn't beat it either.
What are you
talking
about?
I feel like we're talking about all these games we haven't beaten.
Yeah, but there's a level in that game where it's like you're in a milkman's mind. He's just like absolute crazy and like disturbed. And like there's all these secret agents everywhere. And like... And you can see from their perspective, that's one of your psychic abilities, but they always see you as, like, a stand-up, like a cardboard cutout. And what you do is you hold, like, items, like, you hold, like, a rolling pin, like, you know, the cooking thing, mm-hmm. and they see you as a housewife. And they see, you know, when you look at their perspective, you're just this cardboard cutout of a housewife, and they treat you as such.
Huh.
And, like, you need to, like, look like certain people to get through certain areas.
Nice.
Like, one thing makes you look like a cop, and it's like, oh, you're a cop now, go ahead. But that was a really cool area, because that was almost adventure gaming-ish, which I thought was neat.
Yeah, I liked the level where you were inside the mudfish's brain, and he flattened himself to, like this, like, Godzilla monster.
Well, that game is definitely a lot of fun. Game that I don't think people think about too much when they think about the best game from that time period, what I really liked was Paper Mario 2, The Thousand Year Door, mm-hmm. which is because I played the first Paper Mario, and I liked it fine, but I just rented it and played it, you know, over the week and beat it. But Paper Mario 2 really endeared itself to me. It had an RPG style that, you know, kind of took, like, the Mario RPG for Super Nintendo thing with, like, timing your buttons during your mm-hmm. attacks. And you can do it, like, two times, do all these stylish things. I really like the kind of characters you can have in your parties. It was just really well-designed. It was really funny. Especially all the stuff Luigi was doing. Like, Luigi was having, like,
his own
generic little RPG adventure that he would tell you about. He always talked about how cool it was, and he always have his partner, and his partner would be like, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Man, why am I hanging around with him? That was a lot of fun. I really like Super Paper Mario, too.
Well, here's a game that, A, we'd better be getting a sequel, and B, I can't believe more people haven't copied it, was Crimson Skyrunner the Revenge.
I know, you really like
because,
that.
Because, I mean, I played the original on the PC, and it kind of wanted to be a flight sim, but not really, so it's kind of hard for that. But this game, I mean, you felt like a complete aerial ace. You're, like, doing, like, barrels through caves and doing, like, double loops around the outside of Zeppelins while you're blowing up fighters. I mean, that game just caught that kind of alternate history 1930s feel perfectly. And it was really one of the first good showpiece games for the Xbox Live system.
I really would like to see a sequel
and,
for that.
I mean, now with FASA Studios gone, like, I know Microsoft still owns the IP, and I think there is a lot of commercial potential in that series. I'm really hoping they get another one out soon for the 360, because that game's just great.
I gotta bring up Wind Waker,
mm-hmm.
which is my favorite Zelda game.
Yes.
Is it your favorite 3D Zelda game?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know you like, when we did the best Zelda, you picked Link's Awakening for the Game Boy.
Which I found, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I saw
the original cartridge of it.
Original cartridge, not even the...
not even the Game Boy Color one.
That's kind of hardcore. I like that. I loved Wind Waker. Everything about the style was just amazing. That game still looks good. I mean, I've sung its praises many a time.
Mm-hmm.
Music's fantastic. Has my favorite ending sequence of any Zelda game. You did finally beat Wind Waker.
Yeah.
We pushed you to it. And then you didn't beat Twilight Princess.
No, I still got a dungeon to go.
Because Twilight Princess isn't as interesting. See, like, Twilight Princess was kind of a disappointment for me.
That's what kind of turned me off, too, is you saying things like that.
What? Well, yeah. Well, the ending was, but even the whole game...
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I think Wind Waker had it better. A lot of people didn't like sailing. I liked sailing. I thought it worked good.
I enjoyed it.
Using the Wind Waker itself was fun. I like Wind Waker a lot.
Yeah.
You notice how you keep bringing up Xbox games and I keep bringing up GameCube games?
No one's talking about the PlayStation much.
I got one for that next.
Yeah. Well, maybe here's a PlayStation game we should give some due to is is God of War.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of, I mean, Devil May Cry kind of started redefining what, like, an action game like that should be. But I think it still was kind of keeping admired in some Japanese, like traditions. God of War just kind of, like, said, like, all right, we're just going to make everything big and over the top. I mean, fighting the Hydra in the first one or the Colossus in the second one, that was the first level. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, that, I mean, that game has already seen so many imitators.
Heavenly Sword and that Conan game that just
Kingdom
came
Hearts
out.
2 even borrowed from... That's why the combat got, like, an adrenaline commands. Shot. Kingdom Hearts 2, because, like, you know, time sequence event and all that stuff. But, yeah, God of War, it definitely was a pretty... You know, it was... It just had production values up the wazoo.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as the PS2 games go, it really looks good.
It was a good-looking game. Metal Gear Solid 3. Subsistence version for me. Which you can't get into.
I really need to... I think my problem is, because I tried to play it, like, 3 different times in the original version. The original version was crap, because you couldn't see anything. And then they did do Subsistence, which had the kind of more Splinter Cell-style controls.
Camera, at least.
And that was a lot better, but I played through that beginning sequence so much, I'm so sick of it. And it's just, I just need to muscle past the parts I've already played,
I think, and finally get
into it proper.
It is such a good game. And, I mean, it might be better than Metal Gear Solid 1, which is saying something. Wow. I loved Subsistence.
I like MGS1.
I mean, the boss fights were amazing. Although, oddly enough, I don't like the end. Like, the sniper boss fight that everyone talks about so much. I didn't find that boss
fight. I don't even know what that is.
You don't even know? You never heard anyone talk about it? It's the boss fight that everyone praises from that game. Because, like, it's just this old guy, and you're just, like, in a sniper duel with him in this really large area. And, like, you know, for some people, the boss fight can take up to an hour. He's just sniping this guy. But, like, I couldn't... Like, there's all these tricks, like the glint of his scope and, like... You can hear him and stuff. And I couldn't pick up on him, so I just ran around until I ran into him and I knifed him.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But, I mean, so I didn't have the same experience. But there were a lot of other really good boss fights. Just a very good story, which is still a huge rarity in gaming these days. Like, a lot of, you know, maybe unnecessary twists, and like especially in character allegiances. But Subsistence was an amazing game. Had a pretty fun multiplayer aspect, actually. That's already offline. But they're going to refine that in... Four, I think.
Well, that's offline,
yeah, that's
really?
That's offline. Because I guess they figured MPO's out, which I never even tried online. But Subsistence has to be brought up. That's a fantastic game.
Well, I'm running out of steam without my last game. Should I go for it?
Not this time. You could have brought it up, but don't make it obvious that it's your favorite. You have to do something else now. You want me to go? I got one.
Go ahead.
Final Fantasy 12.
Great game.
Still my
for me. To go, like, you got me trying to start playing Final Fantasy IX, which I should have mentioned earlier.
Right, well, no, you can bring that up in the Final Fantasy segment, more about how you feel.
Yeah, but I'm sitting there, and I get into those random battles where it's just fight, 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 hit, 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 all right, it's dead, let's go to the next one. And I'm really missing Final Fantasy XII's battle system.
I really do like 12. I mean, I'm in the middle of 8 still, but 12 is still my favorite Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's that... Really, that sets to me the new standard in like that kind of RPG battle system. Yeah. To go back to like the menus, it's just too slow and cumbersome to me now.
I even like the gambit system of that. Like, it was a really interesting way to like.
Oh, I wouldn't mind if they brought the Zodiac job system version to the U.S. I think that'd be fun to try too.
I like the license board too. Everyone complains about it. I thought it was a pretty sensible way of leveling.
Yeah, I mean, I was fine with it, but I think it would be cool, too, to just have the classic Final Fantasy jobs in that game.
I think the one disappointing thing was that the summons were kind of nerfed.
Yeah.
They weren't useful for very much. Maybe, like, the first one was okay, but, like, after that, you were much better off using those.
But so many people complained about how, like, but in the old Final Fantasies, I had so much more depth and control over everything going on.
Not really.
But when I got to the first major boss battle and one of the judges, I was going in and out of my menus so much and tweaking everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it may as well have been the menus at that point. I was doing so much, but I felt like I had even more control over what was going on.
And, you know, some people accuse 12 of being grindy, like an MMORPG. Like, Final Fantasy V is grindy. That's like, or like even
3
6.
Is grindy.
Yeah.
Any of them are grindy.
Yeah, I mean, they're all of them, except for like 7 and 8, which like you can pretty much play through without ever having to level up, it seems like. Because they, you know, it went a bit more mainstream. Like, there's parts where you just have to go level up, and that's grinding, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care if just because you're not activating random battles. Grinding is much easier because you can actually program it so that it does it automatically.
Yeah, seriously.
And I know people say, oh, then you're not playing the game. You're still playing it. Get over yourself. But, no, it's weird because a lot of people are split on 12. There's a lot of people who, like, kind of resent it and hate it. I just got into an argument on the 1UP boards. Well, not the boards, but the club I'm in. With right. people, you know, and, you know, what do you expect? Half of us talk about how it's the greatest thing ever. The other half, like, they use the word, it was unfun for them.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. But I love it. It's definitely my favorite Final Fantasy and definitely one of my favorite PS2 games.
I'll bring up my favorite RPG of all time. Knights of the Old Republic, which yes. we were talking about earlier with the BioWare stuff. And I mean I played through this game multiple times. I never do that with an RPG. And I mean, even as I've just started replaying it, actually 2 months ago I've started a game up again. I mean, the game has a lot of flaws. The animations in it are kind of dumb. You see, like, NPCs doing the same canned animations over and over. But and like just like some of the presentation's not that great, but I mean, the core mechanics of the gameplay are pretty good. Really not all that different from Final Fantasy XII when you think about it.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
And
I think XII gives you more flexibility
That game's plot was so good. I mean, I think better than anything that the prequel trilogy had to offer.
Yeah, might be.
The twist in it, we know
the twist is fantastic.
It was brilliant. And, I mean, it like everyone was just like, how is this going to work, this whole 3,000 years before Star Wars setting? And, man, it was... They nailed it.
So what happened with Knights of the Republic 2?
It was... Like we said earlier, it was missing something. I think it was BioWare.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That game just kind of lacked a soul. It just seemed like they just took the like KOTOR formula and just tried to, like, copy and paste.
Right.
But the fact that you were making your Jedi, you're picking the crystals for your lightsaber, and deciding on like your force powers and everything, you're going out there and you got like a guy dual wielding some blasters and like a homicidal crazy droid who's one of the best gaming characters ever created. True. I mean, it was just fantastic.
By the way, I decided we're gonna do our top three because we've been doing so much. So think of a top three.
Top three.
Stop with 3, 2, 1. But we're not there yet. Oh, we've been doing this segment for a while though. Pretty good.
Yeah.
We're already 52 minutes into the podcast.
Are we really?
Yeah, we've been doing this. But I got to bring up Smash Brothers Melee, which came out so early that like I almost forgot it was, you know, from that time.
Right.
But I mean, I still play that game to this day. You know that. You can attest to that.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, you get mad at me because I don't play with items on. A lot of people are like, why don't people play?
I don't get mad. I mean, I understand. That's how you like to play it. It's just. When I can't play it with you guys because A, you don't play it the way I like to, and B, you guys are on this total
right. Well, yeah,
level
we
of
play
expertise.
It, some people want to play as a fight as like a party game, with, you know, all these items on. You play all these weird stages where you might randomly get hit by something, but we always play it no items. We play the simpler stages. It's, you know, it's a fighting game, and like, you know, like with that you can complain a little bit because like some characters just won't work because they're just kind of broken or too slow, but still. I always enjoyed Melee. It has definitely one of the best soundtracks.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, it's a best of Nintendo songs, basically.
Yeah.
But I still love Melee. I still play it to this day.
All right.
What, you got nothing else?
Just, I'm trying to think. Not really.
Oh, I think I had something that I wanted to say, and now it's escaping me.
Well, I've got my top three figured out.
Really? I love Mario Sunshine. I liked Mario Sunshine.
Yeah,
I like it more than
fine.
Everyone else does.
Yeah, I mean it was fine. Just it's just fine. I guess it's
okay.
Just, yeah.
I mean, I guess I got my top three also.
All right.
I mean, we missed something that we like a lot.
Yeah, like we'll think about like tomorrow. I'll be like, damn it.
But I'm pretty confident in my top three. But why don't you go for your top three first?
Well, I think my number three will be Crimson Skies.
Really? That's that
yeah.
high for you?
It was.
I guess you were at college. But I never saw you play it that much.
I played it a ton
okay,
at school.
I
played through the campaign twice.
I didn't know that much. Okay.
You want to say your number three? Should we do it like that?
Yeah, I guess so. My number three is I think I had this figured out. Metal Gear Solid 3.
Very good.
Which is fantastic. You're an idiot for not playing it.
I know. My number two, I'm going to go with Metroid Prime.
That makes sense. That's very sensible to me. That was a very,
that
very
was
good game.
Just a really fun game. I enjoyed every minute of it.
My number two is Kingdom Hearts 2.
All right. Ooh, actually, I thought that would have been your number
yes,
one.
Yes, I know. That's a twist.
Ooh, I'm excited now.
I love Kingdom Hearts 2.
I think I might know what your one might be. Okay, well, my number one, you know this, is Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes.
Which ranks number two on my favorite games of all time list. So.
Yeah, I know you love that game. My number one is Super Smash Bros. Melee. Which I,
yep.
yeah. I mean, I still play it to this time. to this day. I mean, I love it. It's just, I don't know. It's fan service, but in the best sort of way. I'm so excited for Brawl, I can't even contain myself. Geez, and I guess I kind of That's a huge segment. We better do the Final Fantasy thing. Luckily, there's not too much to talk about there, but hit the music. Right,
fire away.
I've been playing 8 some more, and I still kind of like
it. All right.
No, that can't be it, though. I really don't have a whole lot
more to say. I started 9.
Well, wait, we'll get to that, but yeah, I'm playing 8. It's still fun. The last few days I didn't get to play it much. I was kind of hoping to beat it before this podcast, but that didn't happen. But there was a twist, actually, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
I told you about it. I won't say it, but I mean, it was kind of neat. Let's just say that all the characters aren't what you thought.
It just seems to me like that game started off really slowly.
Well, yeah, that's what I say. Like, the first disc is pretty much all tutorials and other people telling you where to go. And I hate it when you feel like you have no sense of free will. And, like, it made all the characters unlikable, too, because they're just, like, not like thugs, but, you know, they're just military people, like, doing missions. Like, who cares? It's like playing Full Spectrum Warrior, you know? But it picked, you know, the characters finally got a sense of free will, if you know what I mean. It picked up there. But that's all I'll say about 8 for now. But you asked me, you wanted to play Final Fantasy. You said, should we play 7 or 9?
Yeah,
I told you to play 9. Because I thought you would appreciate... I thought you would see the inherent charm of 9, but I don't know if you really
did. I do. It's just, well, the part I played to the part where the game kind of just becomes the game, finally. And you stop, I'm finally getting to walk around and explore, and I'm not just going through the motions.
Yeah, you're past the introduction.
I think I just got through the slow part. So now, you know, I need to keep going.
Hey, Final Fantasy 9 only has a 20-minute long slow part. Final Fantasy 8 has a 10-hour long slow part.
So. I'm impressed with how much I actually do like the characters quite a bit.
Yeah,
they're pretty cool.
And it's a pretty good looking game too.
Yeah, it is. And unlike you, I'm actually playing it on the PS3 with all the upscaling and everything, and it looks pretty nice.
CG looks as good as almost anything today, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really. So I'll let you get to it and do the bulk of the talking. But
well, I'm sure you won't pick it up again.
Yeah, I might.
Nothing against you, but. You just don't
There's enough
job.
Stuff coming out now that I...
Right. And I still like those active time battle things.
Yeah.
I can still get into those. But that's it for this week in Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll have started 9 next time.
So
and I can talk
out of
about
order
it
right now.
I can talk about why I like it so much.
Should I talk about
I thought
some,
this was going to be a short podcast. It's probably going
to
be the longest ever.
Should I get to some downloads?
Yeah,
then?
You better.
Let's rip through these. So we got Castlevania 2 on the virtual console. They had kind of Halloween themed all their games.
Yeah.
So,
this is the not supposed to be too good.
Yeah, this is the one you should avoid. They have a TurboGrafx game called Samurai Ghost.
Samurai and a platformer. Oh, man.
Yep. And we had a Neo Geo game called Magician Lord.
Is it a fighting game?
It's a side scrolling platformer.
Oh, boy.
How crazy is that?
That's intense.
Xbox Live Arcade, we have Mutant Storm Empire, which is the sequel to Mutant Storm something or other. That was one of the earlier XBLA games. It's a Geometry Wars kind of deal, but it's like
Robotron kind of deal. God, everyone.
PlayStation Network's Twisted Metal 2 released.
So that's cool. Although I played that Twisted Metal head-on for PSP to death, so which was pretty much a remake of 2. But that's definitely the best.
Yeah, I think so. It had the Eiffel Tower you can blow up.
Yeah, it had the Eiffel Tower level.
And then GameTaps, he's 688 Hunter / Killer, Submarine Sim, Shellshock, NOM 67, third-person shooter, and most excitingly, Sid Meier's Pirates, which if you never got a chance to play that, was a really fun, charming game.
The original
game.
Or the remake?
The 3D remake.
I
did
like that.
It was a really good game.
It was fun. All right, let's talk about the real games. All right, let's pull this up. All right, November 5th, Call of Duty 4.
All right.
360, PC, PS3, and DS.
As we were just discussing earlier today, I'm excited for this game, but I can wait. I just played through enough shooters, and there's enough other stuff coming out this month that like I can wait till Christmas for that game.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't know it was coming out. I knew it was coming out in November, not quite this early.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah, but I'm definitely going to play it eventually. It looks, you know, we played the multiplayer beta, and we talked about it. It looks fantastic.
Right.
Empire Earth 3 for PC, November 6th. I didn't know this franchise was still kicking.
Yeah, people, it's got its fans. It's very much the kind of old school Age of Empires.
Yeah, it's
style.
Very Age of Empires. November 6th, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Wii. I know you don't like this game because, in theory,
Mario will never beat Sonic in a foot race. conversely, Mario would win the high jump.
Yes.
So, fail.
It wouldn't be a very fun game if Sonic just always won.
They should just not... It would have been fine if it was like just the Mario characters.
It's kind of early for this game to be out. The Olympics, you know, aren't till summer, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. 2008. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gears of War, PC version, November 6th. I'm still upset that this new game chapter.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they released like just the new chapter as like a little $15 game for people who just want to play that or something. Mm-hmm. If I end up getting a better PC in the near future, a new graphics card, I might do it because if the Unreal Tournament 3 demo is any indication, my computer doesn't handle the UE3 engine very well.
So there's this game for the PSP. November 6th, I guess. Oh, it's just a little later.
That's fine.
But there it is. Blade Storm, The 100 Years War, 360 PS3. I'm pretty sure this was in last week. Probably got delayed a week. You'll have that.
Oh, no, this is actually...
What?
I played the demo for this, and it was
Dynasty
surprisingly
Wars.
Cool.
Rip off.
No, it's not, though. Mm. It looks like it is, but it's not.
It is in the GameSpot description.
Well, they're wrong. No, the way you play it is you control your character, and you pick up a squad. So, like, if you're, like, with like a like with a cavalry unit, then you're on a horse. If you're with, like, a archery unit, you get your bow. You just kind of, like, hold up, like you just issue basic commands to your squad to, like, attack or do a special move or whatever. I'll start doing it, and then you could play individually yourself, too.
If you say so.
Yeah, I liked it, actually.
All right. Lego Star Wars The Complete Saga, Wii, 360, PS3, DS.
That has online play on the 360, right?
Maybe.
I think if it does, that's cool.
This would be the first time any of these games were on the Wii, so... There you go. Yeah. Fire Emblem, Radiant Dawn for the Wii. I like Fire Emblem.
Yeah, I did too. The,
I like
the
it a
Game
lot
Boy
more
ones are great.
I like it a lot more as a... it just makes more sense as a portable game for me.
Yeah, well, it's not even really using any Wii functionality, right?
No, not really. Actually, not at all.
Yeah,
I think
you just use the...
It's a complete sequel to that GameCube one.
Okay.
Which I actually did get, but I didn't play a lot of... But I attribute that to the fact that it was back when I was at Toledo.
Right.
And I was in a dorm, and I never really played many console games because... Everyone was too busy playing college football games. Fear, Perseus Mandate, PC, November 6th.
Meh.
Yeah. Silent Hill, Origins, PSP.
This is, it's supposed November to be a lot 6th. More like ye old Silent Hill, whereas the upcoming
prequel.
5 is more of a like RE4 style reinvention, but not quite as extreme. So okay. If you're an old school Silent Hill fan, apparently you'll love this game.
Supreme Commander, Forge Alliance, PC.
This is an expansion. You know,
it's another standalone expansion. That seems to be the big thing.
Yeah, for RTSs, they figure it's a good way to not splinter your market.
I guess. Makes sense. I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh! The Beginning of Destiny, PS2, November 7th.
Are you still making those? Jeez.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is kind of popular. Dragon Quest Monsters Joker for the DS. What the heck is this?
I don't know. Probably pretty bad.
Assume the role of a monster hunter and capture, train, and breed your army? Sounds all like Pokemon. Fear Files, 360. It's just... It has the two Fear add-on campaigns.
Okay.
It comes out November 6th. And the B game for the Wii, November 5th. I think that's interesting. I think there's only... As far as I can tell, I think there's only a Wii version of this game.
I played a demo for the 360 version, so it's coming.
Then never mind. I am wrong. Then where that? Maybe that one's already out or something.
Something like that, yeah.
That
it?
Yeah, that's it. All right, we're at our normal podcast time after all.
Oh, good.
It's a good thing we had that long best ever.
Yeah. There's not a lot of stuff coming out next week.
We almost skipped it, too.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
We would have remembered.
Yeah.
But that's it for this week, everyone. I don't know. I just want to play Mario Galaxy.
I
want to
play Rock
sad.
Band.
You want to play... Wait, you really take Rock Band over Mario Galaxy?
No, I'd take Galaxy
okay.
first, but...
Okay. Chris would take
Rock Band. So fun.
Oh, by the way, our brother Chris wanted us to mention that his gamer score is over 10,000.
Yeah, I concede defeat. When he goes out and is renting King Kong and Spider-Man Friend or Foe just so we can get more gamer score.
He printed out a list of games with easy achievement points.
When you're renting NBA 2K6, you can get achievement points. All right, fine. You win. But, check out our blog.
ExplodingBarrel.wordpress.com.
I promise. I really do this time. I know I keep saying this. We'll post there more. I'm trying to get moved into a house and find a job. But
you haven't been doing much. You've
been doing some stuff. I'm going to be a substitute teacher. It's going to be exciting. Corrupt the youth.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I know after this, I'm going to play some Final Fantasy VIII.
I'm going to edit.
Yeah, you got to edit while I sit here for Final Fantasy VIII. But thanks a lot, everyone. And, we'll be back next week. Have a safe week. Enjoy yourselves. And thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Presented by
Man, dang it. I was... tripped over the finish line. Did you hear that? Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Fail.